Today we want to look at this thought. We must never, there's a lot of life lessons in this today. We must never discredit or blame God for problems we cause, and sometimes we do. There's a lady called in on a radio program years ago, and she said, "I've got AIDS. How could God put this on me?" And my wife heard her say that, and she said, "God didn't put it on you. You put it on yourself." Yay, by hopping in bed with somebody. And a lot of times, that's the way it is. We bring bad things on ourselves, and we put the blame on God. I'm telling you, that makes God very unhappy. We sometimes cause problems by not doing the Word, by not praying, by not meditating on God's Word, by not going to church, by allowing fear, doubt, and unbelief, or by being disobedient to His voice. Very often we cause our own problems. The devil's always behind it because he's the one that's telling you, you don't need to pray, you don't need to fast, you don't need to go to church. He's the one telling you that, but you don't have to give into it. Before God gave me Matthew 8, 16 and 17, Job was one of my major arguments against healing. When people would talk to me about healing, I would say, "Well, what about poor old Job, poor old Job?" Have you ever heard of poor old Job? I want to show you a little different Job today. He was a righteous man who suffered greatly and was very sick. That's what I would say. After God gave me the revelation concerning Matthew 8, 16 and 17, I don't have time to go back through that. But God did ask me some questions, and one was, "Do you believe I'm still here?" I said, "Yes." "Do you believe I'm still here to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy?" I said, "No, but yes," because I saw it. And then He said, "Do you believe I'm here to take your infirmities, your sicknesses?" I said, "Yes." And all of a sudden, what I was preaching and believing and practicing in my personal life totally changed. And then I thought, "Well, what about Job?" So I decided to study Job. So I'd like to share some of the things I learned. But there's also some great life lessons here if you'll just listen closely. I discovered Matthew, when God gave me Matthew 8, 16 and 17, I began to study Job. I discovered that God healed Job and made him twice as wealthy as he had been before his great tragedy and unbearable physical suffering. God totally healed him and restored him 100%. And surprisingly, Bible scholars believe this whole ordeal that he went through only lasted about 6 months to 9 months. But to hear some of us tell it, to hear me tell it before now, I would say, "Oh, Job never got healed. Job was sick. Job suffered. He lost everything." And I didn't take time to really read it. And I think that's what it is with Job. Some preacher that's never read it, heard a preacher preach about it, he gets up and preaches about it. And next thing you know, everybody's saying, "I can't get healed because of Job." We need to, life is hard. The devil's working on you to try to steal your health and destroy you. And you don't need a biblical excuse that's inaccurate not to believe. And so, this is some things that I learned. But it only lasted six to nine months. And then he lived another 140 years healthy and well. I think I could go through that for 6 to 9 months if I could live another 140 years healthy and well and prospered, by the way. Job did not continue to have great defeats because, as you'll see, he got to know God personally and realized God was not the problem. The number one thing we need to realize today, if we have a problem, it's not Jesus Christ. He is our best friend. He's on our side. Satan is the problem, and he is real, and he's powerful. And that's why Jesus said, "I give you authority." So he doesn't solve all of our problems. He gives us the authority to take authority over Satan ourselves. And a lot of times we're just sitting back letting the devil beat the daylights out of us because of poor old Job. I'm just another poor old Job. Also, we have new covenant authority over Satan that Job didn't know anything about. Matter of fact, Job and Abraham lived at about the same time. They didn't have any scriptures. They didn't have any covenant. They didn't know anything about Satan. Job 3:25, "What I feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. You say, Job did not have any of the scriptures we have. He did not know about Satan, and he did not know that fear opened the door to bad things. The number one thing you got to get rid of is fear. I've watched people when they come to me and say, I've just diagnosed with cancer. That word cancer is loaded with fear, and I believe sometimes the fear is more dangerous than the cancer. And doctors would tell you that. I mean, you need to have hope, and you need to believe. Can you say amen? If we can have hope and faith that the Lord will raise us up, it enables us to defeat cancer, but you need that faith in Jesus Christ and His Word. Job lived in fear and blamed God for every bad thing, as many of us do today. So let's see what Job believed. What you believe is important, and it's my job as the pastor of this church and as a preacher is just to preach the truth. If you disagree with it, you have every right to do so, but you need to hear it for yourself before you make up your mind. And so here goes. Let's see what Job believed. In Job 6:4, God's terrors are marshaled against me. God is sending terror against me. As a born-again believer, has God ever put terror on you? Or does He give you peace? Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not terror. Job chapter 9, verse 17, He would multiply my wounds for no reason. In other words, He's hurting me bad for no reason. Job really believed that. Job is blaming God for Satan's work. And if you read Job, it very plainly says Satan did it. It's a well, but God gave him permission. Guess what? Satan has permission to come after us today too. That's why we have authority. And he comes against me all the time trying to shut me up so I can't preach. But I've learned to tell him, devil, and he used strep throat. And I just say, you need to take your strep throat and get out of here because I'm preaching today. And it's hard for many Christians today that's believed in failure and defeat their whole life. It's hard for them to hear a message like this and really believe that is true. That's too good to be true. Well, it's not. But it's a fight. It's a fight. You're not automatically healed because you're born again. Your sins are forgiven. Satan will still come to steal your health and to steal your life and to steal your family through strife and anger and rebellion. And you need to know your authority, and you need to know you need to be a doer of the word. If you want to operate in faith, have authority over the devil, you need to, Jesus said, when you give and when you pray and when you fast, and the Bible also teaches when you go to church, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, and when you meditate in God's word day and night, when you're doing what the word tells you to do, then you have greater faith to take authority over the enemy when he shows up. Right. And so a lot of times what's happening to us is bad things because we refuse to obey God in prayer and fasting and in the word of God. Amen. Verse 22, he destroys, here's what Job continues to say about God, he destroys both the blameless and the wicked. Is that true? I'm telling you right now, I gave my life to Jesus Christ when I was 11 years old. Took a year off for bad behavior. Rededicated my life back to the Lord. I was 15. And I've served God from that day to this. And since I began to dive into the Word and know the Word of God, God has enabled me to be healed and delivered. I get attacked like everybody else. He's working on me all the time, trying to put depression on me and fear on me, telling me all the bad things that's going to happen. And I have to learn to do what Jesus said. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give unto you. Listen, let not your heart be agitated. Who's the agitator? Satan. So he said, I've given you peace, but it's up to you to guard your peace and tell the devil to bug off. Well, Job had learned that, but he does learn it. Verse 22, he destroys both the blameless and the wicked. Job blamed God, but it was Satan. Verse 24, if it is not he, then who is it? He began to even question his own beliefs. Could God really be this mean? But if it's not God, who is it? He didn't know about Satan. Who is it? It's the devil. He did not know there is a devil, and you may not believe in a devil. A lot of Christians don't, but you need to start believing in him because he believes in you, and he believes you have a weak spot, and he believes he can take you down. Your adversary, the devil, goes about as roaring lion, seeking he whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Why resist him if he's not real? Why did Jesus say, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy if they're not real? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. He has spiritual wickedness in high places. How many glad you came to church so far? Yay. Job chapter 1, verse 21. Job says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. You'll find later that Job said, I said a lot of things I didn't know what I was talking about. And this is one of them. Amen. Lord giveth and Lord taketh away. I'm telling you right now, that is not true in my life. Right. God has blessed me and given me everything, and he hasn't taken anything away. The devil stole some things. But when the devil steals it, I believe God to bring it back. Amen. Now, you need to listen to this because this answers a lot of questions. God's on your side. And how can you go in your prayer closet and believe God to help you when you believe he's the one causing the problems? And see, as long as I believed that God was putting strep throat on me, I could not believe God to take it off of me. But when I realized strep throat was of the enemy and is a part of the curse, and the devil was using that to defeat me and keep me from preaching, when I realized it wasn't God, it was the enemy, I began to take authority over it, and I haven't missed preaching. Preaching in almost 45 years now, because I've learned to take authority over strep throat and the devil's effort to make me sick and keep me from preaching the gospel. In 45 years, I haven't missed preaching one time because of sickness. He taxed me with everything, but I get healed because I know it's not God. Amen. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But if your belief system is not working and you're in bad shape, you may want to get in the Bible and change your belief system to match up with the Bible. Amen. This is not what Jesus said. Listen, he said the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. He said, I've come that you might have life and that more abundantly. I didn't come to steal your health. Amen. Jesus healed everybody that came to him. See, this is the fifth sermon in his series. I already preached all those scriptures. I can't preach them again today. I will be here till tomorrow. But you can get those that listen to them. You'll be glad you did. Jesus was on earth 33 years. He never put anything bad on anybody. Read the Bible and find it. Amen. But why would he go back to heaven and change? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he didn't put anything bad on anybody when he was on this earth, he won't do it now. Now, sometimes if a person is in total rebellion, I do believe that God brings curses on them or allows the devil to bring them on. I think that's a better way to say it. Allows the devil to bring it on them to bring them to repentance. How many rather repent and go to heaven than die and go to hell? And I mean, if I'm doing something really bad, I'd rather have a little suffering to get me straightened out. Yay. On earth, he was here 33 years and find one place where he ever did anything bad. Matter of fact, Peter said he went about doing good and healing all. Amen. They're oppressed of the devil. In Psalm 48, verse 11, listen to this. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. This says God will not even withhold any good thing from you, let alone put bad things on you. Yay. Amen. Y'all still glad you came to church? Amen. Now, if you're looking up Scripture, look it up to see what it says. Don't look it up to debate with me. This is not a debate. I didn't come to debate. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to this. So I knew you were a know-it-all. Well, I don't know everything. But I know a whole lot about this because the devil's tried to kill me over and over and over. I grew up, by some people say, on the wrong side of the tracks. I had an uncle in prison. My dad was tried for attempted murder when he was 15 years old. I come from a bad place. I grew up with demons and devils, and I'm telling you right now, I don't like them. From one side of my family. God does not withhold good things from the obedient. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do y'all believe the Bible? Amen. God adds good things to us as we serve him. Our problem is the devil. You're not going to get through this life without some really hard licks because the devil is on you. He believes you're weak. He believes he can knock you down, and you will be week, if you do not stay in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church and do not spend time in prayer and meditating on the Word of God, you will get weak. And you need measures like this to let you know what the truth is from the Bible, not someone's opinion. God giveth and giveth and giveth. And that's the truth. Because I know that Satan comes to devour, I use my authority to stop him. And I think I told last week or the week before, they'll try to put that COVID stuff on me. I mean, but everybody knew had it. Dottie had it. My mama had it. And they told us that, well, your mother has congestive heart failure. And this is what, 2 or 3 years ago. And so if she gets COVID, it'll kill her. And she got COVID, and we prayed and agreed together in prayer, and God healed her and raised her right back up. She was here, what, the 15th, we were celebrating her favorite son, being here 30 years, Ronnie. And Ronnie thinks he's her favorite. But anyway, she was sitting right there, 99 years old.
That's right.
Was it 2 weeks, when's 15th, 2 weeks ago? You try to tell me healing is not for the day. See, you're barking up the wrong tree. I already know better than that.
Amen.
So what if you get sick and die? Well, it's appointed that a man wants to die and after the judgment. I'm not preaching immortality. I'm saying that God wants me health and well as long as he wants me on this earth so I can do what he wants me to do. And when he's done with me, who cares? But I'm not going to stand here and tell you I haven't been attacked by the devil. Man, he's working on me last night and this morning. I mean, I had war. Yay. But I'm winning.
Amen.
Just take authority. Thank you, Jesus. And he attacks my computer. How many of you know he attacks your computer? Yeah. Well, that's crazy. A printer's been printing, and the thing would not print yesterday or even this morning. I've dug out an old printer, in order to print this sermon off. I mean, the devil's all over me. You're not going to preach today. I said, get out of here, you lying devil. And said, God, help me to get this printed off. And he helped me get it printed off. He said, well, that is the dumbest thing I ever heard. I got it printed off, didn't I? Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Job feared all the time. And there you have it plain. God says, don't do that. But Job was a righteous man. He was righteous that he lived to please God. But at the same time, he had, like us, he had some problems like depression, oppression, and fear, and doubt. And those things doesn't make you unrighteous, but they really can make your life miserable.
Yeah.
Boy, this is good preaching. I want a CD of this before I leave. It's not good preaching because of my eloquence. It's the Word of God. Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. So don't say Job was perfect when the Bible says plainly, fear not, and it says he feared. He says he feared. Job was full of fear, worry, and anxiety. We are commanded not to fear and not to worry. So it's displeasing to God when we allow ourselves to be depressed and full of fear and doubt. You might say, well, I have a chemical imbalance and I can't help depression. Well, then we came here today to tell you you can be healed of that. And we'll pray and believe God to heal you. Jesus said, and the Bible says, fear not. Jesus even said, do not worry.
Amen.
So we can't say Job was okay. He wasn't doing everything okay. Let's compare Job to Abraham, the man of faith. They lived about the same time. So let's look at him. Abraham and Job lived at about the same time. Abraham operated by faith and did not question God as Job did. As a matter of fact, it said that his faith was counted to him as righteousness. And your faith today in Jesus Christ is counted to you as righteousness. So faith is pretty important. But Job greatly feared and worried about things, but Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. There is a lot of bad things that happened to Job that did not happen to Abraham because Abraham lived with faith and confidence in God instead of living in fear. Job had a fear that his children would bring a curse on themselves, and they did because they kept doing these drunken orgies, and I believe they opened the door to the devil. And you know, sin opens the door to the devil. You need to keep that door closed. And if you do sin, quickly use 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean, cleanse us from all unrighteousness? That means we stand pure before God, and we can come boldly before God, and we have a right to come in His presence because our sins are forgiven. We're washed in the blood. We're righteous. And therefore, we can come right into the presence of God. You say, well, I don't always act righteous. Well, I don't know anybody that does. But the blood of Christ is applied to your life. You're righteous, even if you have worry, doubt, fear, unbelief. You're still righteous because of the blood. John 7:11. That sounds familiar. 7:11. John 7:11. Job said, therefore, I will not keep silent. He wasn't shy. I will speak out. In the anguish of my spirit, I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. You see, Job is doing one of the things that kept Israel out of the promised land, complaining. Verse 13, when I think my bed will comfort me and my couch will ease my complaint, even then you frighten me with dreams and terrify me with visions. John 14:27 says, my peace I give unto you, let not your heart be agitated. It was the devil terrorizing him, and he was letting it go on because he didn't know any better. But after you hear this message, you're going to know you can take authority over that fear, doubt, and unbelief. Because it is not, because the devil uses it. And there's natural fear and stuff, but the devil will use anything he can. Job is accusing God of using dreams and visions to terrify him when the word plainly says, fear not. In Isaiah, back under the Old Testament law, fear not. Job 7:15. So that I prefer strangling and death rather than this body of mine. God has so mistreated me, I'd rather be dead. That's exactly what he said. Well, he was perfect. Well, he's perfect before God, just like you're perfect before God if your sins are blotted out. But you still can have a lot of junk going on that will keep you from being blessed. If you go to work depressed every day, you're probably not going to get a promotion. You see, he says, because of God, I prefer strangling and death. Abraham never accused God like this. Read about both of them. And he never operated in fear and doubt, but in faith and confidence. I never heard another preacher preach on that, but God, as I'm praying and fasting, God gave me that revelation. Compare Job to Abraham, and I did, and I was amazed at the difference. Verse 16, I despise my life. As a born-again believer, you've had problems, but you despise your life. Job became so upset with God that he told him to leave him alone. I despise my life. I would not live forever. Let me alone. My days have no meaning. Boy, I pray to God that my days have some meaning. You see, Job was righteous before God, but he had fear, doubt, unbelief, and a bad attitude. Maybe no bad attitude can get you fired. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see, statements like Job made come out of the heart. He had stuff in him that needed to be repented of. When you're always saying bad things, there's something you need to reprogram your heart with good stuff, the Word of God. These things can, I told you there's some good life lessons in this. And if you program your heart with the Word of God, you'll speak differently. That's the reason I don't go around saying, I feel bad. I think I'm sick. I think I'm coming down with something. You know, I'm under the weather. No, I say the scripture, with his stripes I'm healed. Amen. With his stripes, healed. You can say what you want to, but that works a lot better for me. Amen. See, these things can open the door to the devil. Job really believed that God was the problem, but guess what? God had had enough of this guy, and he came after him. Now here it is. Here is what God said to Job, verse 40 verse 8. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Hello. Job was accusing God of being unjust while insisting he himself was righteous. How many know that can never work? If anybody's got problems, it's me. It's not God. I never blame God with anything. If I have problems, it's me and the devil. Never blame God for anything. For God so loved the world that he gave. God loves, God gives, he wants to help us. But because Adam and Eve sold us out to the devil, God gave us dominion over this world, and Adam and Eve sold us out to the devil, and now we have to deal with the devil. But that's not God's fault, that's our fault. And Jesus Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law so we can take authority and live victorious in this life in a demonized world. And if we'll get in the Word of God, we can discover that, build our faith, and we can walk in victory even though the devil is trying to kill us. Amen. It is easy to discredit and condemn God to justify our failures. And oh, that's what so many modern Christians do. Well, I've got all these problems because God put it on me. God's trying to teach me something. Yeah, he's trying to teach you something. Trying to teach you that you can, by faith, be healed and delivered. That's what he's trying to teach you. Yes. And he's trying to use me to teach you that. It is easy to discredit and condemn God to justify our failures, such as disobeying God in prayer and fasting and Bible study, church attendance and tithes and offerings. Why do we have problems? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? You see, many of us refuse to do God's word and then blame God when we get in trouble. I used to do that, but now I'm afraid to do it now because God got really upset with Job. And I've never heard another preacher read that passage ever. I don't think they know Job. I don't think they read Job. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? You're blaming everything on me, but I'm not your problem. Sometimes we have failure because we allow doubt and unbelief and a negative attitude. In this case, we're the problem. Would you condemn me to justify yourself? You see, it's our responsibility to hear and obey the voice of God. And, I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know. Well, it says meditate in his word day and night. When are you going to do it? When am I going to really do it? I'm trying to do it. After God rebuked Job, he repented. Now listen to this, Job chapter 42, verse 3. Surely I spoke things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. He said a lot of things I said were just flat wrong. And he repented. And one of them was, God giveth and God taketh away. Because the Bible says plain, God will not withhold any good thing from his people that serve him. And it says plainly, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be agitated by the devil. I mean, he has given us everything we need to live life and live godly. If we'll just get into the Bible and believe it. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. I was wrong, is what he's saying. Job said a lot of bad things. He said a lot of bad things about God that are not true. The book of Job is in the inspired word of God, but God allowed those things that Job said, and those accusers of his, his comforters, they're called. They were accusers, what they were. If you take all that as truth, you'd be a mile from the truth because they said a lot of bad things, and God let it be recorded so we can see what they said, so we'll know not to do what they did and believe what they believed. But we use exactly opposite. The book of Job was written to tell us not to complain and blame everything on God, but we turn it right around and use it to complain and blame everything on God. I'm just like poor old Job. And this was written to show us that if you have the attitude of Job and don't know anything about the devil and don't know anything about the Word of God, you're going to have big problems. Amen. Job says, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. In other words, he didn't even know God. God can say him righteous because he's a good man. And back then, like I said, there was no covenant, old covenant, new covenant, no Ten Commandments. Not anything. But he was a good man in the eyes of God, so he was righteous in the eyes of God. But God rebuked him. If he was perfect, why did God rebuke him? And that's sort of my case. You know, I was believing all these things and preaching all these things, and God showed up one day and said, "You're wrong, buddy." And he gave me Matthew 8, 16, and 17. And it didn't upset me because I was glad to know that Jesus Christ is present today to take my infirmities, my sicknesses, if I believe him for them. If I'm willing to serve him. Exodus says, "You shall serve the Lord. He'll take sickness away from the midst of thee." If you're going to serve the devil, don't expect God to do a whole lot. You need to be serving God. If God calls you to work in that nursery, you better get back there.
Amen.
Amen. Until now, Job did not know God in a personal way like Abraham. Verse 6, "Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Why did he repent? Because he was messed up. If Job was perfect, why did he repent? Job had some opinions and attitudes that were wrong. There was stuff in his heart that was coming out through his mouth that was wrong. After Job repented, God restored him. Job chapter 22, verse 10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosper again and gave him twice as much as he had before. I think I could handle 6 months of that, or 9 months of that, if he got me blessed for the rest of my life. Job proves, and of course, what happened was Job really learned about God, and learned that God was on his side. That's what made the difference for the next 140 years. Job proves that it is God's will to heal and prosper his people. It doesn't prove the opposite. It proves it's God's will for us to be healed and serve him. After this, Job lived a healthy and prosperous 140 years. This is opposite to what most people think. People say, "I'm just another Job." Well, if you're just another Job, then do what Job did.
Amen.
Repent, get healed, and be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. We cannot use Job to justify being sick all the time. If we are another Job, then we need to repent, get healed, and be blessed. We cannot use Job as an excuse to be continually defeated and sick the way I used to do. And today I got in there and I discovered what the truth is, and it is true that Jesus Christ is present to take my infirmities and my sicknesses. Thank you, Jesus. You see, we have the responsibility to use our authority to defeat Satan in prayer. You got a problem, get in your prayer closet, take the Bible now with you, get your favorite scriptures, and meditate on the Word of God and pray until God drops faith in your heart and you get healed. That's the way I do it. Okay. Oh, the one more problem. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Y'all got time? I don't. I'm going to do it anyway. Paul's thorn in the flesh, and New Testament Christians who people use that, and I use that as an excuse. Well, what about Paul's thorn? Okay, let's look at Paul's thorn. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Y'all excited yet?
Amen.
Okay. "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." And he says, I became so spiritual and so close to God, and I was having so many visions and so many revelations, I was getting so spiritual, I was about to get proud and arrogant. So God gave me a thorn in the flesh to keep me humble. I can promise you, I am not spiritual enough to have a thorn in the flesh. When you say, I've got a thorn in my flesh, you're saying, I am so spiritual, God had to give me a thorn in the flesh to keep me humble. You got a problem, all right, it's arrogance. I'm not that spiritual. So I'm not spiritual enough to qualify for a thorn. Verse 8 says, concerning this thing. I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace, my provisions on Calvary is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, the Lord spoke to him, spoke directly to him and told him that my grace is sufficient for you. My provision on Calvary is sufficient to save, deliver, and heal. What is that provision? Isaiah chapter 53, it says, truly born of sickness and carried away of pains. He was wounded for a transgression. He was bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed, made whole emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially, in every way. So God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient to heal you. And so if it was sickness, he's saying, I'm going to heal you just like I healed Job. Amen. But was it sickness? How many know you can have some pretty bad things other than sickness? If the thorn was sickness, then the only logical meaning is that my grace is sufficient for your healing. If it is sickness, this is saying that Paul will be healed later just like Job was. And if you study Paul, you know he wasn't sick. I think I can prove he got sick, but he got healed. I mean, the man walked all night to go preach, all night by himself. Sick men don't do that. And you couldn't hop on a jet in his day and fly across the country. You had to walk. He's caught in a shipwreck, and he was so healthy, he's able to swim out. And then a snake bit him, and he still couldn't. Devil still couldn't kill him. He shook the thing off in the fire. If it was sickness, this is saying that Paul will be healed. But the truth is, the thorn in the flesh was not sickness. Jesus, help me to hurry. Here it is. It tells you exactly what it was. Here it is. A thorn in the flesh was given me a messenger, and that word is angel. Greek word is angelos. And an angel of Satan, a fallen angel, a demon from Satan, to buffet me. There was a devil assigned to him that everywhere he went, he was being attacked and harassed, and this demon was causing riots everywhere he went. Now, why would God allow that? To keep him humble. It's hard to be proud and arrogant when everybody's throwing rocks at you. That's exactly what it says. That's what it was. You see, there was a demon assigned to Paul everywhere he went to cause riots, attacks, and rejection. A thorn is never referred to as sickness in the Bible, but as a harassment and a torment of evil people. Numbers 33, verse 55, but if you do not drive out the inhabitants, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. A thorn in the flesh is a harassing, aggravating person, like me and Stan. But we do it in fun, joking. Can't you say amen? But that's what it says. These people shall be thorns in your sides. Galatians 6. I'm just trying to hit everything briefly before I run out of time completely. Galatians 6:11. See then what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. And I had college professors and seminary professors said Paul was going blind. And so he had to write real big. And so I covered up my eyes, and I could still write small. So what was going on there? He had a secretary that wrote his letters, and he would sign them in big letters so they could see his signature. You remember, everybody didn't get one of those. They didn't have the printing press, and so they just send one to a church, and they would read it and pass it around to other churches. And so when they saw it, they could see his signature. He really wrote it through a secretary. He was dictating it. That's why he wrote in large letters. I mean, if you want to find a reason to doubt God, you can find it. And then it says Paul left people sick. And I would say, well, see, it's not God's will to heal. He didn't say they didn't get healed. He just said they got sick. Right. Let's all stand.